All these advices, what am I supposed to do with them? When the red light's on, does that mean I'm good? I gotta press it again. Oh my goodness. It's green. I'm good. I don't know about all that now, but we won't go that far. But amen. It's good to be here. Amen. I appreciate Brother Dale. Brother Dale's, whenever the preacher asked him, he's going to let him introduce me. And he said, "How do you want it, Brother Hawkins?" I said, "Don't lie enough to go to hell." Amen. But it was good. Appreciate the meal. Enjoyed fellowshipping with Pastor John. Amen. And good to be in the house of the Lord. I am Gary Hawkins, my wife Rebecca. And why I'm saying this, I won't remember this no more probably, but we do have some prayer cards if anybody'd be interested. And we, like Brother Dale said, we travel around as an evangelist family. We are home very seldom. My home church books a meeting just so I'll show up once a year. Amen. And I told him I was like Brother Sam Gibb. He travels around preaching and whatever. He said, I'm a good member of my church. I never show up, but I make sure my tithes get sent. Amen. And so, it's good to be here. And really, what a joy. I appreciate meeting Brother Dale over there and the ministry he's doing. It's needed in these days. Amen. Somebody's got to go. I even say once in a while, I wish my family would go to jail. At least they'd have a chance to hear the gospel. Amen. And they don't like me saying that, but that's okay. It's my family. I can say what I want to about them. Amen. But it is good to be here, but we travel around, got a gospel tent. We do revivals, do tent meetings, special services, whatever we can do to be a help and a blessing. Amen. We knock on doors. I want to say, I'm not the only evangelist, but I'm going to tell you, we got evangelists today that think that all their job is just come in, preach, and they're done. Everybody's a missionary. Amen. I maybe have a title as an evangelist, but I'm a missionary. Amen. I'm a missionary to America. And I really enjoyed listening to the preacher. He done all the talking and I done all the listening. I just got to figure out what all he said. Amen. But I appreciate what he said and what he stands for. And I'm glad to see that there's another church on the side of the road that don't want to just have somebody say a prayer. They want it to be serious. They want them to mean it. Amen. And that's what we need today. Listen, you can say all the prayers you want to, but if you don't believe and you don't receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, hell will be your home. Amen. Luke chapter 2. Amen. I believe I preached this message a few times, but I believe when we got to the motel, I was looking at some other things, but I believe this is what the Lord would have for us tonight. And I promise you, I have never preached over 2 hours, so we should be out of here by midnight. Amen. Amen. And so, if you get done before I do, I guess you can go home. Amen. I'm checking. John chapter 2, if you can, you're willing and able, stand for the reading of the Word of God. John chapter 2, start reading in verses 12. John, what did I say? It's all good. Amen. I'm reading John. Y'all can go wherever you want to go. Amen. John chapter 2, look in verses 12. The Bible says, "And after this, he went down to Caiaphas, and he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of a small cord, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the table. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showeth thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of the body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. And when he was in the Jerusalem at the Passover, the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Lord, I pray just for a little bit, you'd lead, you'd guide, you'd direct. And Lord, have your will and way in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now we see the scriptures here, and it's talking about the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, you need to respect the house of the Lord. Amen.
Yes,
places where you come in, you come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I see the day approaching, and we understand that the Lord is soon coming, and there's no doubt the signs of the times are here. But I'm telling you, church, I look at church and I go from church to church and go to place and I'm wondering why in the world people's not enjoying church, and I'm wondering why people's not even showing up at church anymore. And I go to thinking and I say, I think I figured it out. Church isn't fun any longer. Church is not fun any longer. I understand. Listen, hey, you got to have reverence for the church. Amen. You got to be able to know when to be quiet. Got to know when to be able to shout and all those different kinds of things. But why would you not want to have fun when you come to church? See, the day and hour we're living in, church is a plague. Well, I'm here only because if I don't show up, the preacher's going to wonder why I didn't show up. So he's going to call me, which now we're in a texting world. So he's going to text me, and I can't lie about it. So I got to show up for church. Amen. He'll come by and make a visit, and I don't need for him to do that. And so I'll just show up from church. I'll sit there and I'll say, here I am. If you can bless me, bless me. If you can't, that's okay. I'm just here just because. I've got some things written down on why church isn't fun any longer. We should enjoy church. Listen, hey, I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church. I don't have to preach. I get to preach. I don't have to sing the songs of Zion. I get to sing the songs of Zion. I don't have to knock on doors. I get to knock on doors. It ain't a have to. It's a get to. Amen. If we'd ever get the part, listen, we don't have to do these things, but we get to do these things. And the Lord allows us to be able to meet together. And the Lord allowed us to be able to preach and to sing and to knock on doors and to witness to people. It might change our attitude. Church should be enjoyable. Amen. Whenever you come, you shouldn't come in with a pooch slip and say, here I am, preacher. I hope he's got something good to say. I'm tired. I'm wore out and everything. Listen, hey, I want to tell you something. There's a big difference in church what it used to be and church what it is today. He mentioned some names down there tonight. I'm going to say something to you. Church used to be, they come in and it was fellowship going on. You'd come into church and the piano was playing. You'd come into church and people would be fellowshipping. You'd pull up on the grounds and kids would be outside playing and having a good time. Now you're lucky if anybody even shows up for church anymore. And when they do show up for church, it ain't really because they want to be there. It's they have to be there. Amen. Am I making sense tonight? I'm just going to say something to you. We ought to enjoy church. We ought to be out. Listen, it shouldn't be that, I can't be over here with these people, and I can't say nothing with these people, and these people are mad at these people. We ought not be mad at each other. Amen. I'm just saying church should be enjoyable. I've got a few things written down here. I got to hurry up. That clock, Luke, is moving. Y'all got to go watch I Love Lucy. Amen. And then pretend like you're going to work tomorrow. Amen. But why isn't church any fun anymore? Look here in Revelation chapter 2 real quick like. You will listen real fast. I'll talk real fast and we'll see what happens. Amen. But Revelation chapter 2. And look in verses 1 starting. The Bible says, unto the angels of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden sticks. I know thy works and thy labors and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hath found them liars, and hath borne and hath patience, and for my name's sake hath labored and hath not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast loved thy first love. You be telling why you ain't having church anymore? You don't love the church. Listen, I'm going to say something to you. It may not be the case here, but I can tell you this much. This church will become like the next church down the road. Amen? We got to love the church. You say, why? Jesus loved it. He died for it. He saved us. And we should love the church tonight. Amen? He told the church here. He said, listen, hey, you're doing right. You're knocking on doors. You're coming faithfully. But you have lost your first love. Do you remember when you first got saved? You remember how zealous you was? And hey, listen, you was on fire for God, and the preacher could have told you anything and you'd have been willing to do it. Amen. Whether it was dangerous or not, it's because you love the church. Do you love the church tonight? Amen. Huh? How much do you love the church? Listen, hey, I'll tell you something. Hey, you need to love your pastors. How many other preachers you got around here? Amen. Need to love them. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Need to love your pastors. Need to respect your pastors. Listen, hey, need to pray for your pastors. Amen. Listen, I want to tell you right now, you don't know how hard it's always been hard pastoring, but you don't know how hard it is to pastor in days that we're in today. Amen. Should we have church? Should we not have church? What should we do? And all the different kinds of things. I'm telling you right now, you better love your pastor. Amen. He's the under shepherd. He's the man. You say, yeah, but sometimes he rubs my cat the wrong way. Just flip the stupid thing around. Amen. It'll make it okay. I'm just saying, hey, we ought to love the church. Amen. Jesus Christ loved us and died for us. And he sent his son to die on an old rugged cross and be spitting upon and made the fun of and mocked and made shame of. And he loved us enough to do that. We ought to love him enough to love one another. Amen. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you that devil's real. That devil's working overtime. You've got a good number coming to church. Praise the Lord. That's a good thing. But I'm going to tell you right now. The devil would love to get this side. I'm mad at this side. The devil would love to get this side. To hate this side. Amen. He don't want y'all working together. We're different people. We're different creatures. But we got to work together.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We got to love one another. Hey, you say, well, yeah, but you just don't know how they act to me sometimes. Does it matter? You ever thought about that? Listen, hey, they've had a rough day. Amen. Something, the devil's been all over them all day. And something else has been a hold to them. And they're having a bad day. You just don't never know about people today. Rough times, hard times. Got to work together no matter what the conditions is. The Bible says to be in one mind and one accord. Whenever something goes wrong, here's what you do. Hey, and if you think I got a problem with you, I can tell you how to solve that real easy. Rather than going to gossip about it and talk others about it, amen, is to get together and pray about it, amen. What is it? Matthew chapter 18, I believe it is. And you go down through there and it said, if a brother have aught against you, you're to go and get him, amen, and figure out what the problem is and try to get it right.
Yep.
Got to love the church. You say, why? That's the most important part of our part. Amen? Loving the pastor, loving the church, loving one another. How about loving sinners?
Right.
Amen? Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't say you had to love their sin, because listen, hey, but you know what? You got to love the sinners. Somebody's already said something to me. The reason their pastors, the things are going well around here is the pastor overlooks their sin and loves on them. Amen. Not that he's endorsing it. He's just not rubbing it in their face. Amen. Is that making sense? I'm telling you right now, we got to love one another. We got to pray for one another. And we got to pray for sinners. Amen. Am I making sense tonight? I'm just talking about, if you get the love of God on you and you'll love God like you're supposed to love God, you won't have a bit of problem loving your pastor. You won't have a bit of problem loving one another. And you won't have a bit of problem praying for sinners and loving sinners. Amen? You can hate your sin because God did. Listen, hey, you remember the woman that committed adultery there? What did he do? Listen, hey, after the guys didn't come and Jesus said, hey, you that have got the first sin, you that are better than the rest, first throw the first stone out there, and it didn't have nothing, so they left. Guess what? Jesus did not uphold her sin. He just said, hey, I'm not going to condemn you. Go and sin no more. Amen. Am I making sense tonight?
Yes, sir.
I'm just saying we got to love the church. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 real quick like. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, look in verses 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you another reason church ain't fun anymore. You've lost your song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Amen. You've lost your song. I'm going to tell you something. When you think about music, you better be very careful what you're listening to.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That song we ain't sung tonight, what's wrong with that song? Amen. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, there's so much junk out there today, and they call it Christian love. I don't know. I ride around. I try to find stations. I try to listen to the news once in a while when I get depressed. Amen. And then I'll try to find some kind of Christian station. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of so-called Christian stations, but there's a lot of junk out there. K-Love, I don't know if any of you ever heard of K-Love or whatever, but I'm going to tell you right now, that ain't a Christian station. That's a rock and roll station. Amen. People say, well, hey, listen, hey, when them songs mention Jesus, you know it's got to be a good song. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not bragging on this. Before I got saved, I used to listen to country music. And in them country music songs, that mentioned Jesus, that mentioned beer, that mentioned leaving your wives, that mentioned all kinds of different kinds of things. Hey, every song that says something about God don't mean it's a good song. Amen. Better be very careful what you listen to. And I'm from down south, and they would say the southern gospel, it ain't what it used to be. Amen. You got to be very careful with music. Singing those old songs. What's wrong with Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound. What's wrong with Nothing But the Blood? I mean, hey, those songs, and he mentioned, was it Miss Crosby there in one of his books or whatever? Listen, hey, those songs meant something to those people, or they wouldn't have wrote them songs. Amen. They got 7-11 songs today. They play them 7 times and sing them about 11 different times. They got the worship style today. Amen. I'm going to tell you, there ain't no worshiping clubs in the Bible. Amen. Rock and roll station. I'm not going to tell you where I was at, but it ain't been that long ago. And the preacher said, I've already got this thing scheduled. We're going to just go on with it. And they brought these people in here, and they got up and sung. And I'm going to tell you right now, I almost thought I might have entered into a bar. They got up singing songs. Listen, hey, they did sing about Jesus. While they was dancing, their clothes was improper. You can take it for what that's worth. Amen. And got up there and, doing all kinds of crazy things. Listen, we don't need the smokestacks. Amen. We need to just get up here and be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and sing the songs of Zion. Amen. There are a lot of songs in this Bible we can sing. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now. When I was brought up under some of them old songs, there would have been the red hymnal books back in the days that's what they had down south, and that's what we used. And that was the next thing to the King James Bible. If you didn't have that song book, you wouldn't write with God. I'm not going to say that tonight, understand? But I am going to tell you something. Not every song in some of these song books are worth singing. I'm talking about we got to have a love for the songs. The old songs, amen. Listen, hey, old time religion. I'm telling you, this old time religion still works today if we just get up and proclaim the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection and sing those songs. I'm telling you right now, I believe we need some people that know a little bit, and I'm not sure how many people know much, to get up and do some classes on our music. Amen. I want to say I'm a different kind of preacher, and people have done figured all that stuff out. I'm not going to say every instrument that people have got in their churches are wrong, but I'm going to tell you something. You better be careful what you're using.
Yeah.
Amen? You better be very careful what you're using when it comes to the music. This beating stuff don't go. Listen, hey, we don't need that. The piano is pretty good. Amen? My wife plays the piano. I got a boy, my oldest boy. He plays the guitar. And I know some people are against the banjo. You get right with God, you'll like it. Amen. And everything. But I'm going to tell you something. Hey, all that stuff can be used for the devil, but it can be used for God too. Amen. But we got music today. Listen, hey, it ain't feeding the spirit. It's feeding the flesh. Amen. If it feeds the flesh, throw it out the door. I was just at a church here not long ago talking to somebody. I don't know who it was. I go to so many churches in so much time, and I can't remember from one place to the other where I've been or whatever. And they was talking about back in the days whenever the people was getting right with God, and they was bringing their records and burning them up and putting them in fires and getting rid of that music and putting in there the songs of Zion. Tell you, do you got the right songs in your heart? Amen. Go to 1 Corinthians real quick like. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Yep. About half of you, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look in verses 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but with in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. Let me tell you another reason we ain't having fun in church any longer. We've lost the real preaching in the power of God. We have got preachers today. Thank God that not every church has gone with that. Amen. But I'm telling you right now, I watch Facebook and I see what's going on in Facebook, and we've got an entertaining church. No preaching. Listen, hey, the Bible says the foolishness of preaching. Not foolish preaching. The foolishness of preaching. Amen. Here's what the old time preachers meant. He mentioned Carl Lackey back there. I'm going to tell you, many people didn't like him. They called him the mule skinner. He got up. Listen, hey, he was like John the Baptist. He named the sin and the sinner. Amen. He had the backbone get up. Listen, hey, I remember the preacher when we first got into a good Bible believing Baptist church in North Carolina. We got up there, that preacher would preach, and I'm telling you, listen, hey, he'd skin you up one side, down the other side, about kill you, amen, trying to get you right with God. Then he'd look at the congregation and he said, now I'm going home, and he'd take a half a baby aspirin and go to bed. Today, you got to be entertaining. We want somebody to entertain us. We want somebody to tell us how good we are. I'm not good without Jesus. There's nothing good about me without Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, we need some preachers. Listen, hey, I understand we need some compassion and we need some love. I understand that. And thank God for the preachers that does. But I'm going to tell you, if you get up and just preach, you might see a difference. Amen. I go into some churches once in a while, and I am a different kind of preacher. Sometimes I don't mind opening up the Word of God and preaching what thus saith the Word of God. It makes people mad sometimes, amen. But listen, I told the church the other day, I said, if you can come to me in my preaching and you can show me where I did not preach anything biblical, I'll apologize. But if it comes from God, it comes from the Word of God, I'm not going to apologize for God. You say, why? He's the one that said it, and that's who you got to take it up with. But we got to have some preaching today. Listen, hey, where are we at? We're in a mess tonight. Would you not agree? We're in a mess, and it's because we've got preachers entertaining and doing some kind of skits and all the different kinds of things. We need preaching. You know what your kids need? Preaching. You know what your middle-aged people need? Preaching. You know what the older people need? Preaching. Preaching changes people. Amen. It used to be back in the days, they'd get up and preach, and here's what would happen. They'd either get it right, or they'd leave. Now the preachers would rather, hey, listen, hey, I'd rather for you to get it right. You say, yeah, but you don't understand. Our preachers just preach the same thing over and over and over. I'm going to tell you how to change that. You ready for this? This is Gary's theology. Here's how to change it. Come to the altar, get it right, and then move on to something else. Amen. Pretty simple, amen. My preacher just always saying things about me. You know what I found out about people today? They want you to get up and preach on somebody else's sin. Yeah. Preacher, you can't listen. Hey, preacher, you get over here and you just tell these folks just how it is and just how they need to get right with God. But don't bother my sin. Let me leave me alone. Listen, hey, we're all sinners. Saved by grace if you're saved tonight. And we need some preaching. I need preaching once in a while. I was in North Carolina right before I went to Ohio. And I was at my home church on a Wednesday night to say, why? I need to be preached to. I needed to sit there and I need the preacher to get up and preach to me. Amen. Preachers need preaching. Deacons need preaching. Amen. People of God need preaching. Lost people need preaching. I'm going to tell you, I'm just saying, hey, if you ain't enjoying the preaching, it might not be the preacher, it might be you. Amen. Well, yeah, but the preacher just, he gets up and he just says things that just rubs me the wrong way. And he just gets up. It might be the Holy Ghost of God convicting your heart and showing you you're lost or you're wrong or you're not doing right and you just need to get it right. Amen. I am going to say something to you. There is some churches that I go to that I probably wouldn't be a member of because I'm not sure the preacher knows what he's talking about. Now listen, hey, I'm a different kind of preacher. I scream and holler. That's not, and it ain't because I'm from down south. That's just the way I am, amen. But hey, there's some preachers that can get up and maybe not even get over a good whisper, amen. And still the power of God's there. And still people can get saved. But it's still got to be preaching. Preaching and teaching of the Word of God, amen. Am I making sense tonight? I'm just saying we need preaching. Go to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29, look in verses 18. And here's what the Bible says. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Let me tell you another reason we ain't having fun in church anymore. We've lost our vision. What is the church for? It's a hospital for sinners. See, Jesus said, what was it? The Pharisees were saying, why in the world is it Jesus is hanging around with those sinners? Why is he always sitting down having sin? He had a vision. He wanted sinners to be saved. Hey, it'd probably be a good idea for you to get off your pride and go sit down with some sinner and talk to him about God. Amen? Might help you a little bit. Oh, we can't do that, preacher. Listen, hey, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm not sure you're needing this right now, but if your two pastors was to get together and they had some kind of meeting and they came up to you and said, we got to build onto the building. We got to build a new building. I'm going to tell you what you ought to do. As a church member, get behind your preacher and go with it. Is everybody all right with that? Huh? I'm just talking about having a vision for souls. Amen? A vision to... Listen, them old time preachers had a vision for things and things happened. Without a vision, people perish. When's the last time you talked to somebody about God? Huh? When's the last time you had a little bit of time and you just... Listen, hey, you keep your pocket full of gospel tracts. Amen? You shouldn't leave a church service. The preacher said he had the track rack over there. You ought to get some of them tracks. I can tell you this much. I handed one today. I stopped over somewhere and got me a cantaloupe. And I handed I think it was a Mennonite or whatever. And I don't know what kind of religion they really got or whatever. But I give them a track that said, you must be born again. She didn't like it. You say, what'd you do with it? I left it there. Maybe she'll get a hold of that thing. Get born again. Amen. I got a vision. Listen, hey, I understand the world needs Jesus. Africa needs Jesus. Mexico needs Jesus. Afghanistan needs Jesus. All those places where the war and things are going on and Americans are supposed to be getting out of there, they need Jesus, amen. But what about America? We are leaving America behind. There's less churches in America than there are in some of these countries. When I travel up and down the road and my wife's always on her phone. Amen. Pray for it. I have a wife that'll communicate with me some of these days. Amen. But as I travel up and down the road, and I go through town and town and villages, I think that's what y'all call them up here, little villages. And I go to these places, and I'll drive through there, and I'll go through some little town, and I'll say, I wonder if there's a Bible-believing church here. I wonder if there's a church in this town. I wonder if there's a church in this. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, Our vision shouldn't, listen, I understand the Bible says you started in Jerusalem, amen. Listen, hey, Brother Dale's doing what he's supposed to be called to do and working here and doing his vision, amen. You know how long he would make it in his ministry or the Lord's ministry that the Lord's called him into? If he didn't have a vision, he wouldn't make it very far. Amen. The preachers here have got to have some kind of vision. And I'm going to tell you, it ain't just the preacher's job to have a vision. Amen? Listen, I did not say, well, without the preacher's vision, people perish. Everybody's a missionary. I've already said that, but I think it needs to be repeated. Everybody's a missionary. If you're saved and you're on your way to heaven and you're claiming that heaven is your home, you ought to want to take somebody with you. Amen? A vision. Listen, hey, we ought to have a vision. But hey, here's what I think. If we'd get a vision of somebody that we knew was lost, and we'd get a vision of them burning in hell, we might get a hold to them before they go to hell. Does that make sense? Amen. I'm talking about, listen, hey, wake up. I'm not talking about one of those visions where you've eaten pizza all night and you get up and you're having all kinds of crazy dreams. Amen. I'm talking about having a vision for lost souls. Have a vision for church planting. Have a vision for prisons. Have a prison for the nursing home. Amen. They've been forsaken a whole lot this year. The last 18 months. I was in another part of New York yesterday. I started a meeting, done it Sunday through Wednesday over there. Or Sunday through, but not done it through Wednesday. I done left them alone. Amen. And one of the visiting preachers came in and he said, what's been more difficult for me than anything is not being able to get into the nursing homes and visit my people. Do you know they're some of the loneliest people they are? Yes, amen. Even, I guess, I don't know how Dale has been doing through as far as that somewhat, but I know I met a guy in Kentucky here some, I guess it was last year, whatever, and he was, his ministry was to the jail people and to the prisons or whatever, but because of the COVID, they was not letting anybody in. We got to have a vision, amen? We got to have a vision for souls. And listen, hey, you get that vision, I'll tell you what will happen. You'll love church. And church will be fun some more. Amen. Go back to Revelation chapter 2 real quick like. Revelation chapter 2. Look in verses 12. And to the angels of the church of Pergamos write these things, saith he, which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan seats. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Satan shouldn't have a seat in his church. And thou holdest fast my name and hath not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Satan shouldn't have a business sitting in this church, having a dwelling place in this church. Amen. And verse 14 says, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrines of Baal, who taught Balaam to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hath thou also in them that hold the doctrines of Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. I'll tell you another reason we ain't having fun in church anymore. We don't got to stand for nothing. We're not against anything. Everything's okay. It's the way it is. People say, well, listen, you understand my statement. I understand when people say, come as you are. You better be very, very, very careful telling somebody to do that, because it may be one day somebody just decides to get out of the shower and come to church. I'm leaving it that there. Amen. I'm just going to tell you right now, we ought to have a stand against sin. I didn't say sinners. Listen, hey, I'm not against the dope head. I'm against the dope. Amen. I'm not against liquor, huh? I'm not against the booze man in this town. I'm against booze. Was it Billy Sunday that preached and he lost his son? My understanding by the testimony, he would get up and preach against beer and liquor and his own son burning in hell tonight, being an alcoholic. Amen. Listen, I'm going to say something to you. I know where I'm at in the northern country, and yes, I deal with Catholics. Listen, hey, I'm not against the Catholics. I'm against their religion. That makes sense? Listen, hey, I'm against some Baptist churches. Hey, man, I'm against some of them. I'm a Baptist. If I wasn't a Baptist, I'd be ashamed. But I'm going to tell you, there's some Baptists. I'm going to tell you, I think the best thing for them to do, go home, shut up, sit down, and do nothing else. Amen. So I'm not just picking on other religions. You say, what about the Baptists? Yeah, we got a lot of bad Baptists. Amen. But we got to stand for something in these last days. Do you not see? I'm sure some of you is depressed enough that you turn that television on every morning to see what Joe Biden's changed. Hey man, I got to keep up with it. I had a preacher to tell me from down in Texas. I put on Facebook the first speech that, listen, hey, you can call him your president if you want to. He's not a president. He's not even sure where he's at. It was a statement before he ever got to the White House. He said, honey, we're just before to get to the Waffle House. She said, no, Joe, the White House. Listen, hey, Joe Biden has no idea what he's doing. He has no idea what he's saying. He's being puppy-nized. And I'm going to tell you right now, if he don't know what he's doing, how are we going to know what he's doing? Other than destroying our country, amen? We ought to stand up for our rights, amen? Do you know America was founded on religious rights? Amen. We was founded on the religious right to be able to have freedom of speech. It's slowly being taken away from us. I don't know how much longer we're going to have freedom of speech. I don't know what's fixing to happen. September the 11th is just around the corner, and I'm a little bit concerned on the 20th anniversary of what happened at the White House, and what happened in Pennsylvania may happen again. Don't die on me now, bless God. Hey, I think you've been gone the wrong way. Hey, man. I'm not just preaching on politics. I'm telling you our rights are being taken away from us. Yeah. Amen. You know what? I haven't made light of this pandemic one bit. I think I possibly had it before China knew what it was. I think I had it before it ever was introduced to America. But I'm going to tell you, I haven't made light of it, but the devil sure has used it. The devil sure has used it. Listen, I don't know what you've done through the pandemic. I'm not telling you you're wrong. I'm not telling you you're right. Hey, I hope you've done what God told you to do. Amen. If you follow God, things will be pretty good. But I'm telling you right now, people have shut the church door. Hey, there's still people not today not going to church. But hey, they haven't missed going to Walmart. Hey man, oh I know I'm preaching now. Listen, hey, I'm meddling now when I go to talking about Walmart. Listen, hey, most of them hasn't quit going to the bars. Hey man, did you know that when they first started out, the churches had to be closed? You couldn't have but 10 people, but it was okay to go to the bar. And I'm going to tell you something. The churches was only allowed to have 10 people. The Walmarts I went to had 5,000 people, I believe. They had to go somewhere. They couldn't go nowhere else. Amen. I'm just telling you, we got to stand for our rights before they're completely taken away from us. This is what happened right here. The devil's sneaking in. Listen, hey, do you know what the devil would like for to happen for this church right here? Close the doors. Am I right? Listen, the devil would love to say, but here's what's going to happen. Here's what a lot of people have said in the last 18 months. Churches closed their door. Quit. Hey, I can't preach against Facebook no more. Everybody's got that thing going. Amen. Well, you know what? I must have been a prophet. I started Facebook 3 or 4 years ago. I must have been the prophet to know what was fixing to happen. Amen. Come on now. Have a good time in church. I'm just telling you. If we don't stand for, hallelujah, glory to God. If we don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. We got to stand for something. You know why? Because if not, the devil will have this church closed down. Amen? The next place will go down. Amen. Brother Mike Stout, Brother Dale knows who I'm talking about. He closed his church down for 2 weeks. And after 2 weeks, the ice cream parlor down there opened back up. And here's what he said. He said, well, if the ice cream parlor is going to open up, I believe church will be essential. And we're going to open back up. And we're going to meet in person. Amen. See, what I found out about it is common sense has left the building.
Come on.
And here, look, you listen to me, and you listen to me well. I'm going to tell you why we're where we're at. People didn't have to go work a job. Amen. I said something in the gas station today, and the man must have didn't like what I said because he walked off. Because we're making a lazy generation.
That's right.
Listen, my daddy taught me to work. Listen, hey, I have worked some during this pandemic. Amen. But we got people, listen, hey, they just do whatever they want to do. Ain't got to have church and just hang on doing the things they want to do. We got to stand for right. You know why? We're going to stand before God one of these days. And do we want to stand before God for doing wrong or doing right? You know what? I don't know. The Bible says no man knows the hour nor the day when the Lord's coming. But last summer when I was over at Brother Mike's preaching, I got to thinking, when's the Lord coming? What would be a good day for the Lord to come? Probably be a good Sunday night. Or Wednesday night. Because you got your Sunday morning crowd. Amen. And I understand y'all have Sunday afternoon. So, you know. But I got to thinking, one of these days, people are going to pull in the parking lot. They may start church. The rapture's going to take place. And people's going to ride by on a Monday and say, why is these cars still here? And after about 3 or 4 days, they're going to get a little bit curious. And they're going to come in here, but it's going to be too late. Amen. We need to stand for something. Let me move on. Move Matthew chapter 16. Am I making sense tonight? Matthew chapter 16, look in verses 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some that say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto him, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let me tell you another reason we're not having fun in church anymore. We forgot who God is. We forgot who God is. I'm going to tell you, I serve the same God that Apostle Paul served. I serve the same God that the old time preachers that was mentioned tonight, Oliver B. Green, Carl Lackey, Jack Woods, we could go on. I still serve the same God. God hasn't changed. We have. We've forgotten where God's brought us from. Listen, I want to say something to you. I ain't saying you should not live in your past. But once in a while, it might just do you good to just look back where God brought you from. Amen? It might just be a good idea. You just remember, hey, you don't have to have a story like Brother Dale's got. Amen? Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. I was raised in church. My mama, listen, I was one of those kids on drugs. I was drugged to this church and this church and this church. I mean, I was raised in church all my life. I got out a little bit, but thank God, prayer did not change. And people, and God brought me back. You don't have to have you could have a testimony of, I was about 9 years old and God saved me. Yeah, but what did I get saved from? The same things this Brother Dale got saved from. Amen. The same way, Brother, you think about some different preachers. I can't think of none that come right offhand or whatever. But I know one guy, Brother Spurgeon. I don't know if any of you know Brother Spurgeon or not. But Brother Spurgeon was in a biker's gang. Now, I don't know a whole lot about biker's gang. Yeah, Brother Dale may could tell you a little bit about it. But my understanding, they're pretty hard to get out of. And he got out of it somehow or another. God intervened. He got born again, saved by the grace of God, and got out of it. And now is traveling as an evangelist. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. We serve the same God that saved him, saved Brother Dale, saved me, that can save you tonight.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you right now, if you didn't know you were saved tonight, I wouldn't take a chance of going home without that.
That's right.
You say, why? We're not promised it tomorrow. Amen?
True.
I didn't say we can't make plans, but we also got to realize the Lord's coming soon. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's looking pretty close to Him coming. You say, why? As it was in the days of Noah, we're there. As it was in the days of Lot, we're there. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, Amos talks about that it being a famine. Now I want to say they got some places and maybe it is. I have no idea. But there's some talk that we are now having shortage of chickens and beef and all these kind of things. I don't know. I hope not. I like to eat too good. Amen. But the Bible says there'd not be a famine of food, but a famine of the gospel. And we're there. Amen. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I thank God every day. Lord, thank you for another day of life. Thank you for my salvation. Listen, hey, I may have not been the roughest character. I may have not got into a whole lot of some certain kinds of sin that I could have got in and things that I did get into. And God intervened and I didn't get hooked on it. Praise God. But I'm going to tell you right now, we better remember where God brought us from. We was talking before church whenever we was down in Ohio. There was a family that they hadn't been saved maybe a month or two. Brother Kaler had been telling me some stories about them having a little bit of a revival coming through and people getting born again. Even had a lady there. I don't think they were real good friends in church and school, but they knew each other. And she looked up Miss Bobby's Facebook thing, and she wrote her own private message, and she said, I'm a drunk and I'm no good for nothing or whatever, and you probably don't want me at your church. Miss Bobby wrote back and said, we'd love to have you at our church. And it wasn't long. I think it wasn't visit them or whatever. And finally, after a while, and one of them even had made a profession before the tent meeting, and one of them made sure they got it right and got saved during the tent meeting. Anybody had some rough characters. That's what God works in pretty good, I believe. Yes. Amen. You better remember who Jesus is. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Amen. He is the Savior of the world, but is He your Savior? Amen. Everybody can say, well, yeah, He is the Savior of the world, and He is. But you got to make sure it's a personal relationship. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I don't believe in a 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. Amen. I'm a whole lot different. I'm glad to hear your preacher is on the same page. We're hoping this preacher's there. I'm joking. But it's more than just a prayer. Romans chapter 10 proves that out pretty good. You got to believe with your heart. Do you know what I did for quite a few years, for about 25 years? I believe with my head. And there's about 18 inches from your head to your heart. And if I'd have died before July the 11th of 1999, I'd have split hell wide open sitting on a pew of a Baptist church. You know what's bad about it? Listen, it's a sad thing to hear of somebody dying and going to hell. But do you know what's worse than that? It's somebody dying and going to hell that's been sitting on a Baptist pew.
Oh.
You've heard, listen, by listening to the pastor, I'm assuming you've heard some pretty good plans of salvation, and you're still sitting here, and God's still merciful. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'd be very, very careful on thinking, I got another chance, I got another time, I got another week, I got another time I can do it. God will work another time. Hey, He may not never work again. Amen. I've got about 15 minutes from where I'm staying at. I could get in an accident with these crazy drivers up here in New York. Amen.
That's right.
But listen, if I die, I got peace. I know where I'm going.
Good.
But what about you? God, listen, hey, I serve the same God that took Paul on the road to Damascus. And I believe he knew a little bit about God. Amen. And he played that religion, thinking that what he was doing was doing God a favor. And then he realized he wasn't who he thought he was. And he got in. Amen. You better make sure you know who God is. And you better listen. Hey, it better not be just it ain't religion that'll get you to hell. Heaven, it'll get you to hell. Religion will.
That's right.
But I'll tell you what'll get you to heaven. A relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
Salvation. Amen. Listen, I preached last night, and you read, you go over to Psalms, I'm not going to go over there tonight, but you go over to Psalms chapter 3 and you read verses 8, and it starts off that salvation belongeth to the Lord. Do you know who I got salvation through? Jesus. Do you know why I don't lose my salvation? Because Jesus has got a hold to it. See, I had religion for a long time. My daddy started a church on the coast of North Carolina, and I guess I was one of them not quite smart enough kids, amen, and I thought I had to make a profession so I could go to the ocean and get baptized, and then I could go swimming. But I got baptized so many times, I was a little bit concerned about the tadpoles knowing my social security number. You better make sure you got a relationship. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get to heaven just because you come to church. You're not going to get to heaven because you've been baptized. You're going to get to heaven by going the way Jesus said in John 14:6, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And he said in John chapter 3, verses 3 and 7, or I believe it, 5 and 7, and it says that you must be born again. And that ain't being born again in your mother's womb. That's being born again of the Spirit of God. Amen? Let me move on. Go to Jude real quick like. And if your Jude's got more than one chapter, you throw it in the trash. Amen. Jude, verses 21. I'm just talking about why we're not having fun in church any longer, and I got to hurry up. Verse 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Let me go. Yeah, verse 22. Some having compassion, making a difference. I'm going to tell you why we're not having fun in church any longer. We ain't making a difference.
Come on.
I'm going to tell this story and I'm going to make it as short as possible. But I was in Texas here a couple of years ago. We helped do a meeting down there. Me and my wife cooked for the church. And we know how Baptists are. We got to make sure all the food's just right and perfect and right on time. Amen. So I don't get to fellowship a whole lot because I'm my wife's best flunky. But I went out at the end of the service. This guy was walking out. And probably about 6 months before I was at that meeting, God had me to do a very thorough video on Facebook about my burden for America. And I'd done a pretty lengthy, probably 30, 45 minutes, and this guy shook my hand. I told him to have a good night. He was about to walk out the door, and he turned around and he says, I know you from somewhere. And I said, well, brother, I don't have no idea. I go to church to church. I'm out west sometime. I'm up north. I go out east and west and south. Have no idea. And we talked for just a minute. He started walking out the door and he turned around and he said, I know where I know you from. He said, you done a video. And I watched that video. And why anybody would watch me more than one time, I ain't figured that out. Amen. But he watched that video and he watched it over. And he watched it over. And he said, God started working in his heart. And he said, I got in my prayer closet. And I started saying, God, I want you to give me a place. I want to have a specific place, Lord. And I want to go there and be a church planter to start some church. Now, I want to say, he begged God to try to go to America. His wife was from Mexico. And so he ended up going, and the Lord opened the door where he could go back to Mexico. He said, what do you think about that? They need Jesus. You know what? I want to make a difference in people's lives. Nice. On my pamphlet that I used to give out, now I do most email because all preachers have got, well, they want to, and that's fine. You can keep up with it a little bit better. And it started out, the Hawkins family wants to be a help and a blessing and encouragement. And that's been a little over 8 years ago. I still want to make a difference. I just finished up revival over in Frankfort, New York. I hope that the revival meeting may end, but I hope revival don't end. I hope that whenever I get in my vehicle and I go down the road and I go to my next place, I hope something that I've said tonight would make you want to go be a help, want to be an encouragement, and go make a difference in somebody's life.
Come on.
Listen, I'm telling you right now, you don't have no idea when somebody comes to church or you meet up with somebody, you have no idea what they're going through. And you need to be a help to them. Amen?
Amen.
I want to help churches, not hurt churches. We got enough people doing that already. Amen? We need to make a difference. Some having compassion, making a difference. Listen, We need to be making a difference. And then go to Galatians chapter 1 and I'll be done. Galatians chapter 1, look in verses 9. And the Bible says, "And as we say before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye that have received, let him be accursed." Now I told you, Baptist churches, I know churches tonight that are no longer preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And if they don't preach that, salvation can't be led.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you right now. I don't believe in the sinner's prayer. I've already said that. Listen, you can take it for what it's worth. I read my Bible. I make people mad when I put stuff on Facebook. I'm not really trying to make people mad. I'm trying to make people think.
Right.
See, the government's making everybody think right now. Amen? Whatever the government says, that's what goes. Too bad what God says don't go no more. Amen? I'm going to tell you, we need to be preaching Jesus.
Right.
Do you know what this... Listen, hey, the Hawkins Family Ministry, it ain't my ministry, it's Jesus' ministry. Amen? What Brother Dale's doing, listen, hey, that ain't his ministry, that's God's ministry. That's a calling from the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, hey, it's got to be a calling. I'm going to tell you, he's on the road a little bit now. I'm going to tell you, sometime it gets lonely. It ain't every week that I get to go to Brother Kaler's church and have Brother Craig Cobb and meet up with Brother Dale and Brother Tarbert down there. Listen, hey, some of those churches I go to, I'm a little bit concerned about. Amen?
Yes, sir.
I preach in a church. Don't ask me where it's at. It's here in New York. And I preached salvation one night, and here's what the pastor came to me and said. He said, "You preach salvation so real that you almost convince me that I need to be saved." Now I want to tell you something. I was a gutless coward, and I'll admit to it. I should have told him best thing for us to do is to go to the altar and let's get this straightened out. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. I don't think I'm going to heaven. I'm not hoping I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. You say, why? It wasn't the sinner's prayer that saved me. It was that I turned. He was talking about repentance. I turned from myself and turned to God. That's how I got into heaven. Amen. I can't get into heaven on my ways. What does Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9 say? "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of thyself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast."
Amen.
Church can be fun.
Yes, right.
Church can be enjoyable.
Yes, sir.
But I will say this much, you've got to be right with God.
That's right.
And then I want to say this, and I'm done. You might not be having fun in church because you ain't saved.
Oh, I'm good with those.
You might not be having church fun in church because you ain't got the goods. You know, when I grew up in church, and I had it. Listen, hey, I was one of those people. I believe I might have been took after Apostle Paul a little bit. I knew when to shout. I knew when to sing. I knew when to stand up and praise God. I had the talk down pat. I could quote some scripture more than some of the preachers that I knew back in the days. But none of that's got to do with salvation. I had to realize I was a sinner. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You know what Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says? "For the wages of sin is death." Did you know that there are people in hell paying for their sin that was already paid for? You know, it'd be a shame. I've been to some restaurants in the past and not know anybody that I knew was in that restaurant. Maybe I was in the wrong corner or whatever. And I've had the get done eating and I'd say, "I need my ticket. I'm ready to leave. We're getting out of here." And the lady would say, "Ticket's already been taken care of." You know what would have been pretty foolish? If I'd have argued about it and said, "No, that's my food. I'm the one that ate it. I'm the one that came in here and I need to pay for it." That's pretty foolish, amen?
Right.
You know what else would be foolish? Going to hell after it's already paid for. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life.
Amen?
Amen. The gift of God. Listen, hey, it's a gift.
Amen.
You say, "How? What have I got to do?" Turn for yourself and turn to God. believe that Jesus Christ will save you just like you are. Amen. I think we ought to start having fun in church again. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for this place and these people. Bless, I do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.